have somebody, I said, don't go in and let somebody else teach last Sunday. And I said, that's strange. So I didn't listen too well. It was a little bit later. Sorry to say, I kind of put Matt in a position. I knew he had something, but I called him on, I think it was a Saturday afternoon or something, and I said, you have something. He says, ready. And he says, well, not quite, but okay, make it work. So I appreciate you taking the time and getting things lined up and going, because I just about didn't follow what the Lord wanted me to do, and I'm glad I did finally do that, because sometimes the Lord tells us to do things, but we don't always do it. And that is an actual sin, if you know what's going on that way. So anyway, I put in this, I always have a title, don't always say it, but it's changes in the season. Change in the season. Change in the season. Things are coming. So good morning and welcome to GSFM. I changed that around a little bit because Sarah always said, well, every time you get up, you always say, welcome to. So I said, good morning. That's better. So again, there's going to be a change. You might not caught that, but there's going to be a change. Change is going to come about. Things are going to happen. And I just praise God for it. I know the weather's been pretty good. Things have been happening. But this has been a really, really tough time. And I've heard there's supposed to be a shaking going on from the prophets in the church. And it seems like a lot of people are getting hit. A lot of things are going on. And don't believe in all that. Just keep on going with what God wants you to believe and know and trust. And I know I've had a really horrible week, which is not of anything other than just getting myself back in order and making things work the right way. So praise God, the week's gone. We've got a new week coming ahead, and we're just going to keep praising God and getting better all the time. So praise the Lord. Last week I heard to stay home so we could talk. You know, I didn't know I was supposed to stay home until I talked to Matt. And at that point, I heard, I want you to be here because I want to talk to you. I said, oh. So I stayed home, and I started to listen to the Lord. I got in the presence. And then I had some prophecies that the Lord wanted me to listen to again, which I'd listened before. So I was re-listening to those. And I remember the prophecy that I talked about before, where a guy had prophesied, and I know everybody has different sayings for years. I know that, because I did have another word that came through about 2025. It meant something else. But in this one, with this guy that was talking about it, he said 2025 was a year to be alive, but 2026 is a year to fix. And I believe with what's happening with Charlie, and I, too, did not know much about him, or didn't know anything about him until he died. And when everybody started talking about it, I said, I wish I had listened to him and understood a little bit more what's going on. But he's a very great influence on talking and getting things out the way they need to be without fear. And I agree with what was said. It wasn't Jesus or God that killed him. it was a devil. It was an evil was there. And I come back to the same point where there's a prophet that went to Paul and told him, don't go. But he went anyway, and he got arrested. Sometimes there's things that God can tell you that you're not supposed to do, but you can override anything God tells you. You have to be very careful. And you might say, well, I want this done. We have to do this. We have to do that. This is going to go. This is going to go there. Not always. You know, if God says, be careful, there might be a warning in such a way. I heard a man one time say, talk about a guy that went to it was up in the Kentucky area. His name was Daniel. He went there, and a pastor picked him up and went way back up in the hills where the hillbillies were. And when he got up there, he went to go to the church to preach, and he sat there, and after everything was ready and it was his time to get up, he got up and he started talking, and all of a sudden this woman out here stands up and starts heckling. He says, sit down. I'm speaking. So she sits down for a little bit, and pretty soon she gets up and heckles again. And he says, sit down. And because, I'm preaching, giving the word of God. And so she sat there for a while, and finally she got up and started doing it again. And he says, "Now, what are you doing this for?" And she just got really upset with her and said, "What's going on?" So she came out in the hallway, in the aisle way, and came down front. There was a red door, opened it up, and pulled out a red snake, and said, "You know, just before that, the Lord had said, warning." And they pulled that rattlesnake out and says, "You know, the Bible says that you can get bit by a snake, so let this bite, this snake bite you and see if you're of God or not, because if you aren't, you'll die." And that warning hit him, and he says, "I curse you in the name of Jesus." And all of a sudden, she just, and she went and grabbed a hold of a, and he opened the door because the snake died, opened the door up and grabbed out two more snakes, and they were both dead. And she just, and went flying out of that place. And all of a sudden, the pastor was sitting in the back row, and he was laughing his head off, and the Lord says, "He's been keeping him in bondage." So he says, "I bind you in the name of Jesus. Get out of here." And whoo, he was gone. He said, "Now tell him the truth." But that warning was what he needed to hear, because he might have just said, "Okay, you know, bite me, and I'll be fine because I'm a Christian." You know, and not that he wanted to be bit by a snake, but that's how people do sometimes. You don't know what's going on. So I took that, and I says, "Okay, that's interesting." And one time I was downtown, I used all gas at night, and I was on 14th Street at a QT store, and I just got through dropping a bunch of gas, and I was getting some bills figured out, and this guy came up, and he says, you want to take, and I heard a warning just before I came up, and he says, "You want to, I need to get out of town." I says, "Oh, you do?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "Are you going out of town?" I says, "No." I says, "I got to go back to the gas station and pick up some more, you know, the pipeline." William Pipeline is over north there or south of where we're at. And come back and do some other things. And no, he says, "I got to get out of town." I said, "The highway's right there. You might as well just go over on the interstate and you just start thumbing because I can't help you." And so he took and he finally said, "Okay." And he took off and, I could have got him out of the area. But he told me right at last, he says, "Yeah," he says, they already killed one guy, some drug people from, I don't know, somewhere else was a drug dealer, came over and I guess he stole some drug or somebody did something and they killed one of them and he was looking for him. And I'm thinking, oh, and so he took off and I got my paperwork and I got up in the truck and all of a sudden, here's this car coming through the parking lot, all jacked up, making a sound, you know, how they deck out their cars and everything. And I'm thinking, they're looking, because they were looking for somebody. If he was sitting in my truck, I could have been in trouble. So if you hear of a warning, just keep looking around, because God might be speaking to you about what's happening. Because it can come that way. Sometimes we're not in true, and it's just like, there was a pastor one time that said, he went to get on the train and plane, and the Lord says, "Don't go." And he says, "What do you mean, don't go?" He says, "Just don't go." He says, "Okay." So he told everybody, he says, "I'm not getting on that plane." Well, everybody else did. And it never did get off the runway because they had some other mechanical problems. And they all had to unload. They sat there for a long time. Finally had to unload because it took a while to get it fixed. And they were all looking at him. And then all of a sudden they came up with a new plane and so they could all start asking him. I said, "Are you going to get on this one?" See, God warned him already. He said, "Don't go. There's something going to happen with that plane. I don't want you on that plane." So that's one of the things that happens. But that's what's going on. He was not afraid. Charlie was not afraid of going and being in a place of danger. They said he had all kinds of death threats. But he didn't worry about it. He went there. And just so happened that one was the one that took him out. And I think Debbie told you last week, but I was praying about it. I said, "Father, if there'd be any way you can raise him back up, because he's touched so many people and he can do so good." And I heard from the Lord. He says, "If I raise him back up, they'll turn him into a god and he will miss me." And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. But that's what we do sometimes. We look at the person instead of looking at God. And we need to keep our eyes on God. So I just praised God for that. And we took and we had... I got a text from Cheryl Scribner, and she had a thing that came from Kenneth Copeland, and he was talking about how there's going to be a lot of press at this place. So there's going to be a lot more information going out across the world, not just you know, the people that are there, and some people want to watch it, but it's going to be worldwide. God's going to open up the door, and if people are going to see and understand, they're going to hear, and God's going to do some tremendous things. So we just praise God for that, and really believe that great things will go on. You've already said it, and I appreciate you telling about what's happening with all Turning Point and everything that's going on, because it's so powerful. So the thing is, we still have to keep our eyes on God. And, you know, God did not kill him. You know, he wouldn't even bring him back because he knew what the devil would do to change things around, to keep from really having him get the glory. So then I took and I was thinking also, it said in John 12, 23 through 26, if you want to read that there.
Jesus replied, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it, but those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who wants to be my disciple must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me."
Yeah. And I use that scripture mainly because it says anytime a seed dies and goes into the ground, it's going to spring up much more life. Amen. So there's going to be a greater harvest than if he was here just doing himself. He'd do a great harvest, but this is going to be a greater harvest. And that's why I'm going with the scriptures on that one there. And the Lord starts showing me also between now and 2030, and I've heard this from two or three different areas, that we the body need to work with and train up believers so that they will not fall away. I've seen way too many people getting saved and getting lost. I even had this walking out of a church one time. I was coming out of a hallway, and I had an audible voice, and the audible voice said, "More people are lost because they're saved." And I'm thinking, wow, why was that? Well, I know why, because I've had people say that people want to get people saved and get them saved and get them saved, and all of a sudden they got saved. And it's like the pastor that said he wanted to get saved. Well, they got him saved, and what happened? He went to church, and because they left him after they got saved. He didn't know what to do, didn't know what was going on. He went to church, And the guy, the welcomer, turned around and says, "Oh, there's a great class down here." So he went down there, and they heard about the blood sacrifices of the early covenant. And I'm thinking, he says, "If that's what I got to do, I'm out of here." Because he didn't know. He didn't understand. There's no direction. And until you get some wisdom and knowledge, and then you start to go that way. And that's what happens, is we've seen this so much, where people just lose it. You know, they get going. The other one that I hear about is, people have gotten saved, and then all of a sudden, when you get saved, God loves you, and he'll take care of you, and everything will happen, and things are good, your prayers are answered, everything else. And then there's a time coming where I call it the toddler stage, because the first stage is the baby stage. There's always babies. Somebody's always around taking care of them. But then the toddler wants to do it himself, and he falls, and he hurt himself and everything else. And all of a sudden, the prayers don't work. And situations go on, and it says, "Well, God must hate me because I got too much problem, too much, you know, whatever going on inside of me because nothing's happening." And we lose a lot of them right there in that spot. And I've seen that through the years, and I'm thinking, wow, Lord, I just went through there, and it really grieves my heart to know that we lose them in those areas because they haven't been trained or haven't had anybody to walk with and teach them or what was going on. So that's what the Lord was saying, that during this time period, there's many that's going to come, and maybe with the program that he's got that's going on might keep them up and keep them going. I pray they will get a real good relationship with the Lord. Because I also see so many times that when the pressures come down on, that's when they leave. They can't handle it. There's nobody there to support them, to keep them up going. Not everybody. There's people, this guy that I talked about, he became a pastor because he was saved, and he went and he wanted to find it. So he went and found it himself. But a lot of people aren't that way. And that's why Jesus calls us sheep. And that's what kind of goes on with there. And that's why I go to Ezekiel 34, 1 through 10, if you want to read that, dear.
"Then this message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds, the leaders of Israel. Give them this message from the sovereign Lord. What sorrow awaits you shepherds who feed yourselves instead of your flocks. Shouldn't shepherds feed their sheep? You drink the milk, wear the wool, butcher the best animals, but you let your flock starve. You have not taken care of the weak. You have not tended the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not gone looking for those who have wandered away and are lost. Instead, you rule them with harshness and cruelty. So my sheep have been scattered without a shepherd, and they are easy prey for any wild animal. They have wandered through all the mountains and all the hills, across the face of the earth, yet no one has gone to search for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, you abandoned my flock and left them to be attacked by every wild animal. And though you were my shepherds, you didn't search for my sheep when they were lost. You took care of yourselves and let the sheep to starve. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. That what the sovereign Lord says, I now consider those shepherds my enemies. I will hold them responsible for what has happened to my flock. I will take away their right to feed the flock, and I will stop them from feeding themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths. The sheep will no longer be their prey.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. That stuck at me the first time I read that. And it's always been in the back of my mind until we got ready to go with Gifts of Spirit Ministry Fellowship, and that's when the Lord really started to deal with me about having the leaders as shepherds. Not, you know, pastors or anything else, but, you know, a pastor is actually, if you go back and look at it, it means shepherd. But the shepherd is so important. If you can imagine the sheep out here running all over without any shepherd, not watching over them, not seeing what they're doing and who's going to take out and everything else. In reality, that's what happens with a lot of people. Even the churches, they have shepherds. I had an opportunity to talk to a person one time. They had a meeting, and they said at this one church, and said they've got, you know, they had three different sections. One was African-American, and one was Mexican, and the other one was the main population. And they had a meeting with everybody that was in leadership, and they said, and because we were married for life, they allowed us to come in. And he said, I went to this church, and that church said, you know, he took all the names of the people, and he says, they used to come here, but then they left. So he went to the next church, and they said, yeah, a lot of these people started to come here, but then they left. And they went to, his church. They've been to his church, and they left too. And then they went to the next church, and the same thing. And he says, if somebody can tell me why they're going from church to church to church, tell me. So I called him. I said, I can tell you. So he took me out for breakfast. And I told him this scripture and what's happening. And I says, everybody has a gift. Everybody has a calling. I don't know how many people I've talked to sitting in a pew that wanted to do something, but they didn't know how to do it. They didn't know where to go, what's going on. They had no direction because they're the sheep. But God gave apostle, prophet, manager, pastor, teachers for the perfecting to get the people going the right direction. And it wasn't being done. They had pastors. They were going to church. They were doing all these things. But there was a missing part in that. And I believe that's what was going on with that, as the fact is, yeah, you know, church has been out of order for a long time. But that's why the Lord was speaking to me, and he says, try to bring me back to the same place. And it all came down after about 20 years, about 15 years of praying. Lord, not my will, but thy will. What do you want? Not what I want, not what I think, not how I see it, but what do you want? And he says, the whole thing that I've talked to you about comes down to the lack of discipleship. The lack of discipleship. And we found that in the discipleship course, the few that we've had go through, so we've had some real changes in people's lives because they went through and they were able to talk with them and break down some strongholds and get things going. It's not to condemn or come against or anything else. It's more of a liberating kind of encouraging and lifting them up to get out to do what they're called to do. And secondly, about the discipleship or the courses, you know, Family fellowship is about a shepherd that is watching over the sheep to find out what they need. What does it say in that scripture? He says, you don't take care of them. They're hurt, they're wounded, and they keep going. Now, some people are hurt and wounded because they want to be hurt and wounded. They use it very well as a weapon to destroy people. I know, I've watched it, and it's hard to change. But the reality is, if you take that and you put in the kingdom understanding, the authority and power that we have, we can bind up those strong man spirits to set them free. We had a man that was a counselor. He couldn't tell me anything because he was a counselor and all the information. He just said, there's this young man, and he dealt with children. He says that nobody can touch. Nobody can get anything to happen. Nobody can talk to him. He's just miserable, and I found out they're going to give him to me next. He says, I don't want to have him. I says, oh, why? He says, well, nobody can get anything out of him. He's just so locked up. I says, oh, don't you know how to take care of that? He says, no. I says, you take and you bind the strong man's spirit in the name of Jesus and demand peace over him and see what happens. That's all I said. And later I talked to him. I says, what happened? He says, it was amazing. As soon as I did, he just opened up. See, we, through the Holy Spirit, can know how to start to speak these things over people to break that down to get it going. But sometimes we just don't realize it or we don't think about it. But when we start to go, the power of authority that we have through Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God, so many people don't understand the true understanding of the kingdom of God. That's the other thing that helped start this whole church between the shepherd and because asking God what he wanted, not what I wanted. It came up to Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I didn't know. I asked people, what is the kingdom of God? It's in you. That's all I could hear at the time in the church I was at. And I said, that's not it. And my spirit was saying, there's something wrong. There's deeper than that. It's like when I was at First Assembly, at Central Reform, our Dutch church. I was there for 30 years. And all of a sudden, something hit me, and I says, there's got to be more. There's got to be a lot more. I'm missing something. I didn't know what. Nobody could tell me. And then when I met Debbie, it was after my divorce, and she was divorced, and we met, and she was going to a First Assembly here in Des Moines, Iowa. So I went there, and it was the old church, the old sanctuary it was at, and it was really pretty wild. And I said, wow, there's just something different about that at that time. And I walked in there, and I was in a worship service. And all of a sudden, my eyes went here, and I said, I don't know what that thing is, because I didn't see anything, but I said, I need that. The Holy Spirit was telling me I needed the Holy Spirit. I need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. I need to be working in the spiritual God, of God. And I started to see that, and I'm saying, oh, my goodness, this is quite unique. So eventually, I was at an Assembly of God camp. Long story short, I wasn't never been to a camp before, wasn't ever a good counselor. But I was just watching some boys for helping them out. And on Wednesday, they have all their kids come down and get baptized in the Holy Ghost. So the pastor, I told him, I says, I'm not filled in the Holy Ghost. He says, well, you come down and get, you watch the kids, and you come down and because all the counselors went into a trailer and got ready for that night. He says, and then you come down, and you'll get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, me. These are junior hires. I'm thinking, I'm coming down with the junior hires to get, I don't think so. Well, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He says, go down. So I went down and I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I said, wow, what a difference. My whole life changed once I get baptized in the Holy Ghost. But so many people have taught against it that people don't want to hear about it. But when they start to see how it works, because I know that we had a lady here one time that was working with people, and they had houses that they had a lot of people there, and there's a lot of turmoil and stuff going on. And we talked to her about binding things up in her house. And so we had some people, and we all drove around the block there where the house was at, and we bound up everything. And she says, man, the house just calmed down. And then later on, she had another house there that was some people were kind of going crazy. And I says, okay, we'll do that again. But I couldn't find anybody at the time. So I said, well, I'll just go over. So I went over and sat outside the house, and I start binding up those strong man spirits. And she says, it just settled back down again. We have the authority, we have the power, but we're so messed up with doing all this other stuff and going this other way that we're not getting people trained up on how to go and do what they need to do. It reminded me, God reminded me of the time that I was out to the church down in, I think, Los Angeles. They always called, the police called the church and said, would you send people? Would the police call us to send people to a house that had domestic violence? They did. They said they wouldn't go without these people showing up. Because as soon as they showed up, they start praying and binding the strong man's spirit. And they walked in and they said they had very little problem. But if they go without him, it was like these demons were having so much fun and causing so much problems, they could have, you know, people getting shot, killed, whatever. Whereas we, with the understanding that we have, can go in and calm the whole thing down. But are people getting trained that? Are they getting to the place of understanding how to do that? You know, it's great when somebody takes authority and learns and understands, because people will grow and prosper, but the average won't. They'll sit there and they'll just let it go by because they aren't hearing or understanding or seeing what's going on. And that brought me back to the time I was in heaven, third heaven that time. And I was sitting on the throne beside Jesus, and God was this close to me. I couldn't see him. I just felt him. And he said, I am upset with my apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teachers, because they're not perfecting my saints. Perfecting means actually to bring the hurts and the pains, exactly what that disciple, what the pastors are, you know, what the shepherd's supposed to be. And I've always said, Father, I do not want to be one of those shepherds that you turn your heart against, because it can happen real quick. He says that's the problem. If you're in that position and you're not working to help these people get set free, and I says, Lord, I don't even know what this means. I says, you know, I had to go back and really look at. He says in King James, it talks about the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher for the perfecting. Others have changed that. It says perfecting. I said, what is perfecting? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If that isn't being done in a person's life, there's an open door for the devil to come in and cause problems all the time. Hurts, pains, unforgiveness, everything. And the enemy will lock onto that and cause you to go down. That's why God's really working on me to take and change. There's some things in my life that I have just not gotten rid of. And I have to get rid of them. When I get rid of them, then all the things starts to happen. Things will get better. I know that for a fact. There's a shaking going on in the body of Christ. I've said it many times. If you've got a problem inside you, a hurt, a pain, unforgiveness, things that are dealing in your life, and you have not gotten rid of them, you better be seeking some help to get rid of them, because if you don't, that enemy has a legal right to come in and get you. That's a kingdom of God understanding. And that's why when I was sitting there on our trip going down that 3-day or two-week trip that caused me all this problem, that I came back with a real problem. The devil got a hold of me down there, and I've kind of got it figured out why, and I get into breaking it down and destroying it. But that's when the Lord said I was having some problems with my health, and he says, the power's inside you. You've got everything inside you. And I'm thinking, oh, man, I know that, but it just doesn't, you know, it just... So much of the time, I can do it, but I don't, because I just kind of walk by and just let things happen. It's just one of those situations that's getting more stronger and stronger in the Lord to do what's going on. The enemy would like to take us all out. The sooner the better. He hates us. And he'll do it as soon as he can, if you allow it. But don't allow it, because you don't have to allow it. So this is what it comes down to, just understanding these principles, walking and talking and getting to know them. And seeing what's going on. That's what this is all about. And I just want to go down to John 1 and also John 2 that we had there. You want to read those, dear?
We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with us with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship was with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. This is the message we heard from Jesus, and I'll declare to you, God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Mm-hmm. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate, praise God, who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is a sacrifice that atones for our sin, and not only our sin, but the sin of all the world. And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it is an old one you have heard from the very beginning. This old commandment to love one another is the same message you've heard before. Yet, it is also new. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you are also living in it. For the darkness is disappearing, and true light is already shining.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
I often wondered, I said, how can you really tell if a person belongs to God? It says, if you obey his commandments. And what is the commandments? Love thy neighbor as thyself. This is one of the areas that really, I hate to say, have the hardest problem in the body of Christ. I'm very serious on that one. Very serious about that. How much do you love everybody? Anybody that you can't stand. Anybody that gives you problems all the time. Anybody that you always talk about somebody. Always complain about somebody. Always. Then that's how simple it is. And there was a teaching that I ran across here a while back. And in it he said, he was talking with a real powerful teacher and man of God. That he says, I'm not worried about the physical sins that I do. He says, I'm more worried about the spiritual sin that I do. He says, and one of the things he mentioned, he says, if you're supposed to do something you're not doing, that's a spiritual sin. So it doesn't really say anything about seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, but you know what? That is a commandment of God. Are you following the commandment? He says, if those who do not do my commandment. Because if you realize the kingdom of God, the authority, the power, and what's going on, and you start to realize, you get his righteousness. See, when the Holy Spirit came in, you got a righteousness. You are righteous. I had some people that I knew, and we were talking about that one night, and we were driving one way or the other, and all of a sudden they said, oh, yes, we are the righteousness of Christ. It doesn't mean that you are the right, you have the righteousness of Christ. It doesn't mean you are the righteousness of Christ until you perfect it in you and bring you into that place. But if you got the hurts and pains, you cannot perfect the righteousness of Christ, because there's too much hurt and pain in there. It will not allow the love of God and the life of the Holy Spirit to flow through you. This is the tough one right there. And when you start to change that, you will change and people will be more likely to be around you because you aren't so miserable. I'm telling you, this is where it's at. It's so wrong, and it's kind of a strong word, but it's true. Because God doesn't look at you he looks how much you love. Everything that you do, you love. It's like what I was saying that a long time ago. The Lord was dealing with me, and I was just going back and forth, and they had talked about the fire, that when you get there, your work's going to be burned up. And I says, wow, and I was thinking of burning, and he says, yeah. He said, the love is going, the fire is testing how much love you applied to all the work you did. It's not that you did some good work. Well, I got this person saved. I got that person healed. I got this over here. I'm doing this. Blah, blah, blah. But did you do it with love? Or did you do it because you love it? See, there's a difference. And I'd take that scripture and I'd read it and read it and read it until you finally get a revelation on it, if you haven't already. If you got one, praise God, go with it. But if you find other people, I know I have people that turn around and they say this and they say that, but they say it without love. They're saying truth, they're saying the word, but there's no love. And that love will get you. Because that's what there is. It says if you don't have love, you can't be, you're in the dark. You're not in the light. Didn't say that you're not going to heaven. It's just saying that you're going to miss out on some of the things. So that's one of the biggest things that I ran across again lately is the love. Love changes everything. You know, if we had so much love, this world would be different. That's what Charlie had. He had so much love. He had love for children, for youth, to give them the truth, that he would go out and give his life up to help them get set free and change the direction of the country. That's what he did. Are you willing to lay down all your what you're looking at and what you want and then letting God take over and do what he wants you to do? I tell you, it was like I was watching one video. It was a prophecy, and all of a sudden it flipped over to another video that I don't even know who was. It was what it was about. It just flipped. I'm saying, how did I get this on here? But I started listening to it, and it was a man, David Herzog. I don't know if anybody's heard of him. He's a prophet. We've seen him down in Kansas City, and he gets in this meeting, and all of a sudden, this guy's hair that's gray turns brown. He's got teeth growing back in, and they proved it. Situations going on in their lives. I mean, signs and wonders like crazy. Well, he said he was over to England. I would never watch that, you know, that video, but it was over in England. He says where Wigglesworth was. He says he went to Wigglesworth's grave and felt the power of God still there. He says then he went to his church. He said he even talked to his daughter, still alive. And he started to learn some things about it. And he preached in his church, and then he went to a park across, you know, in that area. And he says nobody's ever preached in the park, like, you know, for some time, I guess, or at a big meeting like that. They had the cops there, and there's a lot of Muslims in that area. And he just started speaking with the power of God coming out of him. And he says all of a sudden, people were getting healed, things were going to happen. He says people, blind eyes were opening up, ears were opening up, all this stuff was going. But, you know, down the road, then all of a sudden, he said, Muslims were giving their life to Christ. There was so much going on. So he'd given himself over to God. And God was doing something magnificently. And he said he found a secret from Wigglesworth, about Wigglesworth. He was praying, I guess Wigglesworth was praying about England and being saved and all the stuff going on. And the Lord said, if you remove yourself out, I will come in and take over. And he literally just took his whole will and put it off the side, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost came in. And he resided in him. And he says, that's why so many things happened with Wigglesworth. Because the power of God was so strong in him, he was not there. He was out of the way. And God could do what he wanted to do. Could you imagine if we did that here? We just backed ourselves off and just let God take off and start to go and move and do everything else. And then came down to another one that I ran into. I was watching another prophecy. And all of a sudden, it flipped over to another video, and I said, what is this? God's speaking to me, because I'm not hearing this. I'm not looking for nothing. It's just what God's saying. And all of a sudden, it's all about Clem Clement. And he's talking about the scripture that says that the sons of men, you know, that the whole earth is seeking for the sons of men. I think I got that one down there, don't I, Sarah? Okay. But the world the earth is seeking for the manifestations of the sons of God. Now, I know what that actually means. He can't wait till Jesus comes back and they've been redeemed. Because the world hasn't been redeemed. We have been redeemed. Okay? So it took, and as soon as it comes back, guess what happens? But the fact is, we can bless this earth. We can bless this world. When there was a revival down in South America, they said they were having carrots this big. I mean, things were unbelievably blessed. It was unbelievable how things were going. I mean, it was just, I didn't see the pictures of them. I wanted to, but they said that it started by two pastors coming together and praying for those, for the area, for revival. And the revival came. They even said the revivalist that was there, it was said later that there was a guy that was going to shoot him. And he said there's this big cloud that covered him and he couldn't find him, so he couldn't shoot him. So God protected him, okay? Now, why didn't it happen to Charlie? I don't know. But the reality is, guess what's happening? God wants to open up this world. You know, if we really get down to it, Karen said it the other day, it had been quite a while back. She says she had a rabbit come in her yard and says, "Rabbit, I've got a full authority over you, and I'm telling you to get out of here. I don't want you in my garden or my yard." He says it bounced right out of their yard. I'm thinking, huh? And Chris started using it on mosquitoes when he's putting a shed together. The mosquitoes were coming all over. He says, "No, I got authority over you and cast them mosquitoes out." Wow! No, we got to go get some bug spray. Get some bug spray and spray all over. No, we don't. You just cast it out in your authority and power. They got authority. And that's what the kingdom is. We need more authority, more understanding of what we actually can do. And guess what would happen? If you had 10 people, you could take the whole city for Des Moines quickly by changing that around, by walking in the spiritual realm and seeing what's going on. But the whole process is getting it to the point to find the people who are serious enough to go ahead and do this. But the Lord has called us to do one thing, and that's to help get as many people set free and prepared to do what they need to do, because that's why he gave preachers. I heard a man here a while back. He said if the Lord was going to do it, he says he wouldn't have made you. He said the Holy Spirit would have just done it. He wouldn't have made you a pastor, prophet, teacher, evangelist, whatever else gift you got. He wouldn't give you a gift at all. You wouldn't need one because the Holy Ghost would have took care of the whole thing. He would have told everybody, trained them right up from the beginning. We'd all be better off if he did. It didn't happen that way. That's another one I ran into. They're just all over the place. But that's what, when Kim Clement come out and he starts singing and how he's doing prophetic, and he says the earth is calling for the manifestations of the sons of God. There is a calling. What does it say? He's going to cry out. If you aren't praising and worshiping God, what is it? The trees and the rocks will cry out. Why? They want the power of God. They want the glory of God. They want the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in each one of us, walking in a way that, and it's not just about healings and all these other signs and wonders, because that's what the Lord said. When I was sitting there, he says, "My people aren't perfecting my saints." He says they're out perfecting, they're doing the work of the ministry. And that's what we've been taught through the years, to do the work of the ministry. We need that too. We need the understanding. But he said, perfecting the saints, edifying the body of Christ, and then preparing for the work of the ministry, which is signs, wonders, and all the other stuff that comes through there. So this is what the Holy Spirit was doing with me last Sunday. Just running me through one thing right after the next. I was like, I called Debbie before she even started the meeting yesterday or last Sunday, and I'm saying, "Wow, I'm learning all this, blah, blah, blah." I mean, it was going like crazy. And as soon as the Holy Spirit rises up in your life, what's going to happen? The enemy is going to rise up and try to take you down. He's going to try to pull the rug out from underneath you, cut you off, make you miserable, get you sick, get whatever's going on. I'll tell you what, that's why my week was the worst week. Why? Because I didn't do anything right. I mean, I messed up. He started putting the pressure on me, and I gave in a little bit. Now, you give in a little bit when you're in that area and you're starting to do things. That's why Paul says, I'm a worse sinner than y'all. So I probably am too. So the fact is, we got things that we got to deal with. And the fact is, if you love people and you follow his commandment and you're walking in his light, you'll be amazed. And if you don't want to give up old hurts and pains, you're not loving. You're not walking in that light. Doesn't say you're going to hell. It just means that you're not being what the, you know, 1 John, 2 John is all talking about. How do you know that somebody, I see people out there all the time. They said, oh, I know God. I know God. It was like one time I was at, down here, just down the road where CarMax is, used to be Zig Ziglar, which was a Caterpillar dealer. Huh? Caterpillar. And I worked for him for a while. And all of a sudden, this one guy, we always changed our clothes with the locker room, and we got left. We went there and went home, and this guy comes up to me, and he says, you're a Christian? I says, yeah, I'm a Christian. He says, oh. I says, yeah, I go over here to First Assembly. He says, well, I go to First Assembly in Altoona, or down at Indianola. I says, you do? He says, yeah. He says, well, I'm so glad to talk to you about it. Nobody was around. He was talking quietly. But he was the worst coarse joke teller, the worst thing that going on. I mean, cussing, swearing, going crazy. I says, oh, he must really be in the light. No, he's not. He's in darkness. Doesn't mean if you're going to church, you got to realize you got to have the relationship and the personality. See, if that's the case, he never got perfected. For one thing, he didn't know about authority. Secondly, he didn't know about, it says, he first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. He didn't know about his righteousness. He's not walking in righteousness. Are you walking in the full righteousness? What is righteousness? Love, peace, joy, happiness, meekness, mildness, kindness, long-suffering, and temperance. When you start walking in that, that's what God gave us. But we aren't walking in a lot of cases. We have to perfect it. When we perfect it, then guess what? You're showing the love of God out to everybody. When somebody comes up and drives you crazy, then you can still handle being around them. You might say, Lord, help them after they leave. But the fact is, you still can handle them while you're working with them. Because why? God loves them. He'll do everything for them. You might can't stand them, but it doesn't matter about you. It just matters what God does and what God wants. So this is the whole thing. So this is what the Lord's saying, is that he wants me to prepare, and it's hard to get back into the office like I want to, but we'll be getting stuff done and get things lined up. But he says, prepare, and this is what he told me. He says, prepare leaders, which are has some wisdom and knowledge of what's going on, as well as being a shepherd and working with people, understanding how to work, kind of give them a little understanding to know. He says, when you have them ready, I've got all these people to put for you. I'm bringing them in. They're ready. They're just sitting there. That's what happens. Because he says, I don't want to lose the ones that come in. Many people come in. Some people won't like what we're doing, and that's fine. There's places out there they can go and find what they're looking for, as long as God's blessing you. And it's not about us. It's not about what we think or how we're going to do it. It's about how you are going to grow in the Lord. That's all this is about. I could care less about anything else. If you're not growing in the Lord, then we're doing something wrong. And I says, see, he comes down here and he'll say, if you're not doing what you need to be doing according to that scripture, he will say, he says, woe be unto this pastor, because shepherds, because I won't have anything to do with them. A lot of shepherds will not be in heaven. A lot of pastors that say they're pastors will not be in heaven. It's because of that very scripture right there. And that's his law. That's what he wants. That's what he directs to do. So this is what we're setting up and getting things going. So this week I'll be working more on that, trying to get away from the other stuff that's happening, and back down and get things going, and might be calling on some people to do some stuff. So we'll see what's going on, and we'll get things lined up. If you have any questions, any concern. Now, this is the whole thing. We're setting this system up, as the Lord is showing me, in such a way there's too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Now, that's a dangerous situation, unless you're all walking in the united in the unity of the Holy Spirit and in love. Because, see, I came down many years ago. There was a guy that was a deputy sheriff, friend of mine. In fact, actually, my cousin's husband. And he says he was so mad. He says, every time I go to a meeting, only 20% does everything, and 80% sits there and gets by with everything. They want the 20% to do it, and they don't want to do nothing. Well, that's human nature. So, and I've heard that through many other organizations. So anyway, at that point, I says, okay, Lord, this is bad. So what do you want to do? He says, if you turn around and you make leaders, he says, I want to change this around so that we have 80% trained up and ready to take care of the 20% and train them up so they become part of the 80%. If that makes sense. So the fact is, we'll have way too many people in charge, but they'll only be doing what they're supposed to be doing. If they're doing what they're supposed to be doing and listening to the Holy Ghost, there won't be any problem because we'll be united in the Holy Spirit. We'll be walking where we're supposed to do and know what we're supposed to do and be accepted and approval of everybody else, because it's the only way it can work. If we're going to do what we're going to do, there's going to be a lot of people out there. We need, and this is the biggest thing that I've seen in the churches today. If you're not a pastor, if you're not a deacon, if you're not a welcomer, if you're not a Sunday school teacher, an office worker, doesn't get, you know, you're in a choir, you know, then what do you got? Nothing. You just come, you sit, you listen, and then you go home. That's not what they want. They're pew sitters. They're people sitting there with gifts. And that's what I told that pastor. I says, there's so many people out there with gifts that they need to know and understand. But if the shepherds are not, the pastors are not showing them how to do it, helping them, finding people who will work with you to do it, then they sit and they don't do what they're supposed to do. That's why so many people have fallen through the trap or through the area. So at that, I'm just going to say, Lord, I thank you, Father. I know that you've called us. I know that you're doing great, magnificent things. And I know, Father, that we just praise your holy name and worship you. And we're going to get this thing on track and get it going the way you want it. So, Father, we would not be here if you did not want this, because there's no way we could financially be here. I know it's a little tough again right now, but Father, it's not my problem, it's yours. If you want us here, you'll bring forth the finances, you will provide what's going on, meet the need, and I give you glory that you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So we just go from there and just give you all glory. We thank you, Father, for this word. We thank you for guiding and directing me and getting me back in order, and I just thank you, Lord, that you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God Almighty, and we just wish or worship you and praise you. We ask that you bless each and every one and keep them all safe until we meet again. In the name of Jesus, amen.